Hey, y'all, and happy Friday. Welcome to the Happy Hour Express edition of the Stripe Show podcast, where we bring you everything you need to know from this week in golf in 15 minutes or less, presented by Encore Golf and their very amazing golf ball, the Vero X1. That truly is all that I play anymore. And I'm not just saying that because I don't have to, but it's always good to promote a product that you like. This is a major championship edition of Happy Hour. Y'all are not acting like this is a major championship week, and I'm tired of it. We have the U.S. Women's Open this week. And if you also couldn't tell, if you're watching this on YouTube, I'm in my office and I got a puppy. So please say hi to Bailey. Mrs. Bailey, so sweet, but she always needs to be touching her mom, aka me, at all times. So if you see her in the future podcasts, she's going to be getting a polo shirt. She's going to be outfitted and ready to be on the Stripe Show podcast. As I said, we have the U.S. Women's Open at the Olympic Club this week, which is super exciting. We've got some cocktail dinner, bed golf, as we like to call it. It's at the Olympic Club, as I said, in San Francisco. Coverage times started yesterday at about 7, Thursday at about 7, and went till about 11. So it was perfect to watch before I went to bed. It was super awesome. I do love that, although I wish there were some more, you know, streaming options like there were for the men's majors. But we'll get into that whole debacle and the difference between the women and men's majors as a whole. So we've also got the Memorial Tournament going on. Rain delays all day on Thursday. But Colin Morikawa is loving this place. He very clearly has needed to fix his putting, which Travis has talked about on this podcast a lot in the past couple of weeks, where, you know, he's one of the best ball strikers in the world right now. He's got the driver game. He's got the long game. He's got the iron game. He's got the wedges, but the putter has been what's been lacking for him. So he switched back to his blade this week. And he shot 66 on Thursday in Leeds at the Memorial. So I'd say that worked for him. We'll see how it holds up for the rest of the weekend. But it's been super interesting to watch. You know, I always love watching players change their putters and change their putting grips and change, you know, their setups and stuff, because it is such an important part of the golf game. And yet we don't, you know, as amateurs, we don't automatically are hitting our irons bad and think, oh, I need another set of irons. Sometimes we do, but very rarely do we do it as much as we like to do with putting. So I just think it's interesting that that pros are like that as well and like to change things up every now and then. So earlier in the week, we had Jason Day withdrew due to back issues again. I think I saw that this was his seventh withdrawal in the past six seasons. So likely not going to play in the U.S. Open again at this point, depending on how he's able to fix that in the next couple weeks. But again, back to the U.S. Women's Open at Olympic Club, had to get the men out of the way. Watching the coverage has been so much fun. This is the carnage that, you know, we like to see at a U.S. Women's Open and a U.S. Open course. Having the Olympic Club set up for the women is awesome. It's been really awesome to watch. Some of those fairways look so tight. I'm a great driver of the golf ball. I like to say that I've never missed a fairway since 94, which if you know me, you know that means that's when I was born. However, I think there are many fairways I would not hit at the Olympic Club, judging off the coverage and the photos I'm seeing on social media. So don't need to be playing Olympic Club at any point in time soon, because I don't like to feel bad about my golf game. So it's been super awesome to watch, like I said. And get this, a high school junior co-led after round one, which is insane, you guys. So I played in the U.S. Women's Open in 2012. I had just graduated from high school. I was technically going into college, a freshman in college, but it was a summer in between. So I was technically, I guess, a high school senior and then going into college. So I was 1 year older than she is. Could not imagine leading the U.S. Women's Open at that age. And this is her second time playing it. She's going to Stanford in the fall. Incredible golf game. I'm looking forward to watching a lot more of that today and hopefully over the weekend. I did see that she was on SportsCenter today. So just loving that coverage of the women. Like I said, I think it's great to really treat this like a major week that it is and not have it overlap with, I mean, obviously we have the Memorial, but it's been really good to watch coming off the NCAAs last week, which we'll get to next. Pepperdine won the NCAA Division I men's championship, which was pretty cool because last year when the pandemic hit and golf was halted and the postseason was canceled for NCAAs, Pepperdine was ranked number one. So it was a very bitter ending, but I'd say bittersweet because they knew obviously it was the right thing to do, but they were ranked number one and their postseason was canceled. They were on a roll, right? So it's just got to be hard to be put in that situation, but they clearly still had the ball rolling this season. They won in the final match. And I don't know if you saw on Golf Channel the video of the player running up the fairway with his golf bag to hug his teammates and celebrate. And all the pictures were so great. And it's just a really NCAAs is a different beast. And it's extremely pressure packed. And it's doing something for your team is much different than doing it, you know, as an individual. And so I really love to watch that and love the coverage that it got. I wished we would have gotten to see a little bit more of it selfishly, but we'll take what we get. It's a big step that NCAA's, you know, has been televised at all in the past few years.
Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Improve your golf swing today. Pro level launch data in the palm of your hand. It is very accurate, within 2% of a $20,000 unit. The Rapsodo MLM app automatically tracks stats and stores video with Shot Tracer, helpful for club gapping and understanding true distances for each club. Rapsodo MLM provides immediate feedback data and creates a better practice environment, not mindlessly hitting balls. Extremely portable. Case is about the size of a rangefinder. And you know what? You can use it both indoors and outdoors. I love this launch monitor. It's the Rapsodo Mobile Launch Monitor. Check it out at rapsodo.com. R-A-P-S-O-D-O.com. Rapsodo.com.
So, that being said, we've got some bent out of shape this week. We haven't done this in a while, but I posted on my Twitter page and I said, hey, what's got us bent out of shape this week in golf? Now, not everyone responded with golf-related things, but I said that I would read them on the podcast and talk a little bit about them. So we've got Mike Weiss, great friend. What's up, Mike? His response made me laugh. It said, literally everything, nothing about golf, but everything else. And that, I feel like, is just kind of the mood you sometimes get in heading into the weekend. But it is Friday, Mike. We have the weekend coming. Go get a craft beer. Everything's going to be fine. But I'm really, really happy that you guys all responded. And I've got some more that we'll read as well. So Bobby Leak responded and asked my thoughts on the arm lock. That is a big topic on tour right now, whereas the USGA is looking to ban it. But some people say don't ban it. Some people say do. Travis has talked a lot about the podcast. Talked a lot about arm lock on the podcast and specifically saying, you know, it's different when you have the grip. Sorry, I'm mirrored here. When you have the grip facing towards the hole, the flat part facing towards the hole, that gives very little room for error, which could be seen as an advantage. I don't know how I feel about it. I think that if, you know, the people who created the game and made it what it is today saw the arm lock theory, they would maybe crap themselves. So I don't know. But all that to be said, Xander Schauffele is trying it this week. Talk about another guy who needs to figure it out on the greens. So we'll see how it works. I don't really personally feel one way or the other. I just kind of always like to think with that kind of stuff, like, how is this how the game was meant to be played, right? And I'm not talking tradition. I'm not talking, you know, things that don't really impact the golf swing, but I'm talking golf swing specifically. But you could argue that there's, you know, people grip the driver in, or their iron's different. So are they going to be put at a disadvantage, or I don't know. I don't know. Basically, I don't have an answer to that. That's how I feel about it. Someone said pace of play at the U.S. Women's Open. Yes, I did definitely feel this. I think watching it, the girls are extremely analytical. And I don't know. I don't really know the answer to this. I think pace of play has been such an issue for the past probably 5 years on the PGA Tour and the LPGA Tour. I think that it's a tough one because we can say that all we want and we're sitting on the couch not playing for millions of dollars, right? I play golf very fast. I step up and hit it. I shoot the number with my Bushnell, step up and hit it, and just get right in the cart. I don't care where it goes. I'm also not playing at the US Open with, you know, my career on the line. I play for fun. Most of us play for fun. Most of us who are complaining about it play for fun. So I'm not saying that it's right or wrong. I'm just saying maybe think about, you know, the scope of which they are playing and think about what they're playing for. Do I think it could be better and policed more? 100%. But we are also looking at it through a different lens than what they're looking at it through. So they also probably look at a lot more factors than we do when it comes to playing a weekend round with our friends. They probably got a lot more knowledge up there, a lot more going on. So I would say, yes, it needs to be policed more. And, you know, if we need to start bringing out the clocks on the course, then let's do it. But at the same time, try to put it through a different lens. But whatever the rule is, obviously, they should oblige.
Yeah, it's playoff time. Big stakes, bigger promotions. DraftKings Sportsbook is putting you courtside with a chance to turn $5 into $200. That's 40-1 odds on any basketball game. All you have to do is pick any team that is still in the hunt for the trophy. And if that team wins, you will receive $200 in free credit. That's right. Pick any team that is still in contention, bet $5. And if that team wins, you cash $200 in free credits. All it takes to claim these 40-1 odds on the basketball team of your choosing is place a $5 bet on that team and that team to win. Don't forget, DraftKings Sportsbook also offers great odds and promotions on baseball, hockey, and golf. So much more all week long. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, so you can deposit and withdraw your funds at your convenience. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code Travis when you sign up to turn $5 into $200 in free credits. Bet on the basketball team of your choice to win their next game. And if they do, you claim the $200 in free credit. That's promo code Travis for a limited time only at DraftKings Sportsbook.
Matt Allen said, I just remembered that we may never see Tiger playing again in serious competition. And he got very sad. So that's just Matt. That's just not the energy I needed today because it's already Friday. I'm trying to get in a good mood. And you had to go and say that. So we're going to put that there because we don't know for sure yet. Right. So let's not get assumptive. Right. Brody said the coverage of NCAAs was bad. It would just be a couple shots in a commercial. I noticed that as well. I'm not the commercial police like a lot of people are on Twitter and social media, but I did definitely think that, you know, the coverage times could have been better. I would have loved to watch more, but I also think that that's always going to be an argument, right? Unless every single tournament is covered like the Masters or like the Players or like the PGA, where we have all the different streams and we can watch whatever we want, we're going to keep complaining about it. So at what point do we just accept that maybe that's not our reality right now? And especially, I don't think that they would have, you know, the higher ups would have gone through that hassle for the NCAAs. Would I love to see it? And do I think it will happen in the future? Yes. Right now, don't think that's a reality. Someone said that all of the, you know, social media and marketing people in, you know, the golf space are just doing the bare minimum on women's major weeks. And I completely agree. If you look on social media during the week of the US Open, the men's US Open, or the Masters, or the Players, it's giveaway here, giveaway here. You know, all these brands like TaylorMade's giving away this driver and Callaway's giving away this driver and you know, Bridgestone's giving away this and this, and all these brands who work with the players who are on tour do a lot of giveaways. Now, that's just not necessarily a thing with women's golf. And I think that if that was more of a thing, maybe there would be a little bit more hype around it. I do think if you have not watched a lot of women's golf to this point, this week is definitely the place to do it. Olympic Club is great, and it's going to be an awesome test for these girls, and it's already proving to be that. We've got a junior in high school co-leading as of, you know, Friday morning. So it's going to be pretty awesome to watch. You can watch it after dinner. You can watch it over dinner this weekend. No excuse with work. So it should be fun. But I do agree that we need to do a little bit more in the way of women's golf and how it's covered. But that will always be a topic on, you know, what has me been out of shape. And I feel like that's a topic that we're going to have to discuss for a while before it's fixed. So definitely agree with him though. Well, that is all the time we have today on the Happy Hour Express edition of the Stripe Show podcast. Thank you so much for joining us. If you saw me on YouTube and watched this on YouTube, Bailey is now sleeping silently for now. So I hope everyone has a great day and makes it a great weekend. And cheers. I know that this happy hour for me might be coming sooner than later. So I hope everyone has a great one. Make it a great weekend. Cheers.
Let's take a second to talk about the guys and girls over at Encore Golf. Encore has earned a reputation of having the most cutting-edge technology in their golf balls that the industry has seen in quite some time. Their team in Buffalo, New York, is changing the script of golf technology through the perimeter-weighted designs, use of high-density particles, and even a nano-transitional layer in their latest creation, which offers players enhanced accuracy and control for every shot on the course and extreme velocity off the tee. They already have their award-winning Elixir and Avant 55 golf balls, but the new Vero X1 is the highest performance ball to date. With their full suit of golf balls, they are transforming the game for players of all skill levels. Visit EncoreGolf.com/Travis Fulton for more details about their products that are revolutionizing the game. Now back to the Stripe Show podcast.